Welcome to the Young and the Restless Recap. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda.
Welcome to episode 85.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things happening.
Yeah, plenty to pay attention to.
I feel like the storylines are definitely either kind of wrapping up on one hand, but heating up for summer on the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're gearing up, but, you know, laying the groundwork early.
Yeah. Yeah, the question is, who's Nikki going to murder this summer?
Right.
She's got to murder somebody somewhere. Every
so summer. Many options.
What should we talk about first?
Well, let's talk about the jailbirds first.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that has been a running story of just the, you know. So, really, when did all this start? Well, I guess you were, maybe didn't catch the very beginning of all this. When Nikki hit JT in the back of the head, I think that was last summer. So, it's been almost a calendar year for all this to
right.
be happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for it to be over.
Which is, you know, it's forever in soap opera time. And, yeah, let's wrap it up. We're done. You know, JT's out of the way, so that was the important thing. And now everyone knows that Victoria was an abused wife, girlfriend, whatever.
I was deeply troubled by when they put Victoria on the stand and had her sort of recounting the abuse that JT had, you know, done to her.
Inflicted on her.
And Christine is like, but basically, didn't you deserve it? Weren't you whiny? Were you controlling?
Yeah.
It was like.
Yeah, she was just like.
She was terrible.
I'm going to list all of my own neuroses and project them on you right now.
It was awful. And I basically felt like sometimes on this show, I run through my head, who's a bigger piece of human garbage? And Christine definitely takes the cake right now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
She's worse than Mia accidentally crippling Lola or I don't know.
Yeah. No, because she's so mean-spirited about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to hate somebody, but to just, you know, needle them to death is something else.
It was terrible. I was uncomfortable with that. And then I actually felt in a weird, uncomfortable way that Michael was strangely competent as an attorney, despite the fact that they were found guilty.
Right. Yes. I think he did a fine job. I think Brittany was kind of useless.
Oh, I kind of liked her. Really?
She just seems like an add-on. Like, she didn't quite know what she was supposed to be doing.
Oh.
And so she was going to, you know, stay up and binge watch Law and Order. Yeah, exactly.
I liked her. I felt like she was a good addition, and then I was hoping that she would maybe get more of a recurring role as the, you know, the town attorney. Cause, I mean, at some point, mm-hmm. Michael has to retire.
Yeah, there's definitely room for that.
Do people retire on this show?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean retire as an actor, but retire in their work life?
Yeah.
I think
it's time for a new attorney to come in and get some of his.
Because he used to have a partner.
He's so incompetent at.
Yeah. I mean, like
he's
one person is working
partners.
The business drama and one person is working the personal drama, but they own the same law firm, you know. Yeah, I feel like there needs to be another addition. I mean, they would bring Leslie back in every once in a while, but it seemed like they could never hang on to
Not
her.
Not often
either.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say Brittany's legal outfits were terrible.
So bad.
I took several pictures because they put her in these pencil skirts that, I mean, I think it's popular right now for the skirts to be longer, but they just made her look like a school marm. And
from 1880.
Yes. I thought she belonged in Jane Eyre.
Yeah, she would never be seen in public. Smoking a cigarette or riding a bicycle.
I mean, she should be fashion forward, and I was really disappointed with the weird outfits that they put her in. repeatedly.
Yeah, she would grow frumpy.
Yeah.
And I don't like that she and Sharon have the same haircut.
Oh, they do, yeah.
That's redundant. Kind of,
yeah.
You know, center
true.
Part.
Yeah.
We've been railing against Sharon's center part for years.
Yeah.
It's got to go.
Well, I do still want her to come back because she used to be, you know, when she was on the show, she was kind of like a hot summer icon. You know, she'd be out in her bikini a lot and stirring up romantic drama. And so I get that she's, you know, true to her lawyer life now, but she can still have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lawyers can be fun.
Maybe.
Don't see why not.
Christine apparently can't. What do you think Christine does
Christine
when she goes
needs
home?
Paul. Paul needs to come back from wherever the hell he is and
I saw
be her moral compass again.
In the teaser for next week, Paul is in it. So he's returning.
Oh, good.
At least for a, you know, one scene cameo.
Okay.
In case
all
you
right.
missed him.
I never thought I would hear myself say that.
I know.
I miss Paul, and he did a benefit to the show.
Yeah.
Calm Christine down.
So, yeah, the women got their prison sentence. What was it? Sharon got 3 years?
Sharon got 3 years.
How much Victoria?
Victoria got 11, 10 or 11, and then Vicky got 30.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Basically a life sentence.
Yeah.
I felt that like that was a little harsh.
I felt like it was harsh. I felt like it didn't suit the crime and didn't take the circumstances into consideration at all.
But do you think...
You know, and I did like the judge.
Oh, really? She's okay.
Yeah, but...
She's very judgy.
I was surprised when it was that harsh.
But I thought it was to make an example. It's always to make an example, right? That's what happened to Lily, too. You know, you can't be reckless. You can't just take the law into your own hands. But I felt like that sentence reflected exactly why they hid the crime, because they didn't feel that they would be treated fairly.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
Nobody would believe the abuse. And, yeah,
Yeah, they're justified in their actions, which is surprising given the extremity of those actions.
Yeah. So once they are sentenced, it's a shock for everyone. And I thought it was interesting, though, that they just brought them right back to the jail. And, you know, Victor could come in and talk to them, and Nick could come in and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they're in the prison van, the bus, being transferred upstate somewhere. And we knew that Billy and Nick were going to have some sort of plan, because it's like they're both wearing turtlenecks and they've got like a look on their face.
Right. They're dressed for it.
Yeah. And so they're in the van, and Nikki's really putting on her big girl pants and trying to calm everybody down.
Mm-hmm.
And the van stops and the guards say, "Get out." And I don't know, I felt like the acting this whole last part has been, has left some things to be desired, but they finally get out of the van. And
a little subpar.
Yeah, like maybe they only did everything one take. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They were rushed.
Yeah.
And then Billy and Nick are there, you know, and they're, and Ray too. Oh yeah, Ray's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically set this whole thing up. He had some dirty cops who were willing to go along with this plan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's...
Give them enough money, they'll look the other way while the women try and run.
Ray, who's been, you know, the hugest upholder of the law, is suddenly willing to take it all down for his love for Sharon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking, if I was in this situation, I would probably not put everybody in my family's cabin. Like, oh, we'll just sneak them off to the... Like, that's probably the first...
Yeah.
People go to that cabin before they go to the coffee house, before they go to Fenmore's.
Right.
They're like, they're probably in the cabin, right? So
they have the little sign in the window that says the convicts are in.
And not only that, I felt like for as intricate as Nick and Billy thought the plan was, they didn't have changes of clothes.
Really
for the, yeah, no, they didn't have clothes for the women to change into. So they're hanging out in the cabin with their inmate denim on, you know, like, even if somebody just went outside to put something in the garbage, they're still, they got their inmate numbers on.
Right. It would be very clear that they did not belong there.
That's why I felt that this whole scene was rushed. And it kind of just didn't feel true to all of the time they've invested into this storyline. Not to me, it didn't.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely a throw-in.
So JT is apparently alive then.
Right, yeah. I saw his face and immediately texted you and screamed and was just like, oh my God, he is still alive.
How can he be alive? What am I
missing? Well, you're missing the part where they are really bad at killing people all the way. And
but they buried him.
JT is really good at getting out of enclosed spaces.
He was rolled up in a rug, and then they buried him, like, several feet below.
Right. But, you know, if you think about it, they probably did not bury him very deep, and they probably did not fill in the hole very well, so it was all loose, and he was able to, and the rug that he was rolled up in actually protected him, because he had a little air bubble there, and, you know, I think it's almost more likely that they bury him alive than bury him dead.
I just can't. I don't know. Even up until the last part of the last episode, I kept thinking it's Adam. And because, I don't know, did you remember the part where Nick made the mask to look like JT?
And right, yeah.
All around town, you know, like basically a body double. I thought maybe Adam got a hold of that mask. I just cannot believe.
Yeah, there were 10 other places that storyline could have gone, and it didn't because they said, you know, we'll just bring him back. Poof, he's alive. Now, if it turns out that he's a twin or a cousin or whatever,
oh my God,
then I'm going to be pissed.
No, because, I mean, when he... Did you see the last episode? I think it was Wednesday, because March Madness, you know, preempted everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was in the cabin, and now they're trapped with the gas on.
I did not see that, no.
I think that was the last scene of the... So basically, the women are pacing around the house, you know, in fits, and I missed exactly how it happened, but Billy and Nick had some plan set up with Ray where they were going to lure JT to a warehouse because they're convinced JT is alive. So they're going to lure him.
Yeah, I knew about that.
Yeah, they, you know, I don't know, what, they have like a pile of bacon with like a rat trap above it. Like, we'll lure him
in. Yeah, exactly.
Either way, it didn't work. It went the wrong way. They lured him to the cabin because he followed the prison van and knew they were in there, and then he disarmed one of the police guards that's outside the cabin, and he puts on the police guard's uniform, and he's got the gun, and the women know something's wrong, and they're going out there, and Victoria's yelling, JT, I know you're here, I know you're here, and then...
I can smell your cologne.
That Axe body spray, it's permeating everything. And... they turn around, and he's in the cabin, and he's got a gun pointed at them. Also, wait, before they officially saw him, Nikki was like, we have to arm ourselves. And so Victoria grabs a kitchen knife. Sharon somehow finds this archaic sword thing.
great.
And Nikki's like, "What? I need something. I need something." And then she is like, I need it long. And metal, and then she sees the fireplace pokers and goes, oh yeah, that's it. So dumb.
My old friend.
Yeah. It's like, not only does she kill someone every summer, but now she has a preferred weapon of choice.
Right, yes, yes. Well, and I'm kind of surprised that at the cabin there isn't a gun safe that's got every...
Oh yeah, like a hunting rifle.
Machinery.
Yeah. something.
Well, and an AK-47 and a, you know, Beretta and a Glock and, you know, oh, ooh, I'll try this one.
You know, they probably do, but nobody ever leaves the living room. So who knows what's in those other rooms?
Exactly.
So.
But that would have been more funny to see them, you know, just.
Yeah.
Putting on body armor and night vision goggles and the whole nine yards.
I mean, it was so bad that it was almost good, but not quite. And then, so JT is like, no, I'm here. And he's got a gun and he makes everybody zip tie each other. He makes them drop the fireplace poker and they zip tie each other's ankles and hands. And it was poorly executed and weird. And it felt like they were just phoning it in because he'd be yelling at him. You know, you did this to me. You tried to kill me, and I've just been hiding and laughing. But then every 30 seconds, he'd hold his head and go, ow, ow, my head. And they'd be like, what's wrong?
Oh, and he's got a brain tumor that's making him do it.
Something, yes. And he was like, no, ow, ow, leave me alone. And then he'd get angry and, like, point the gun at them, and they'd be like, ow. And it just kept going on and on, and they're like, what's going on with you? And then he gets really angry and he takes the fireplace poker and he just starts bashing things with it. And he knocks like the lever to the gas fireplace and the gas from the fireplace. You can hear it going, shh, you know, the house is filling with gas. And he basically passes out or goes unconscious from whatever this brain tumor issue is. And then the women, they're only individually zip tied, their hands are zip tied in front of them and their feet, and they're just laying there as the gas is filling the house and they're going, JT, wake up. It's like you couldn't just fall on the ground and worm
trying to get loose.
Yeah, like worm your way out, or you know, like even just fall.
Don't they know the shoelace trick to get out of zip ties? Come on, everybody knows that one.
Yeah, I felt like it just like they just laid there and cried. And that is kind of where it ended. And you know that Billy and Phyllis and Nick, they're all going to rush in at the last minute. And it'll all be saved.
But maybe the Abbott cabin will finally blow up.
Well, I wondered about that. You know, do they escape and it blows up and then you never know what really happened to him? Or is it that, no, actually there is a body and all the court cases are invalid.
Confirmed dental reports.
I don't know.
We have a confirmed identity. But, you know, the source of so much pain and anguish could go up in a great big fireball. That would be great.
I do believe, I keep saying this, but I do believe when we come back, it will only take, you know, 3 or 4 episodes to really wrap this up and get things back to normal.
Well, I hope you're right.
God, please. Pray.
They should have wrapped it up before March Madness started, but that's too much to hope for.
Yeah. Just the way that they had things, it made me wonder if with Neil being out, maybe there were some scenes they had to reshoot or change, or I don't know. But it just didn't. It felt like they completely phoned it in. Like, no, he really is alive. And he has a brain tumor.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Not viable.
No. So yeah, I think that's kind of it for them though, unless you have any specific, you know, also kind of
any deep insights.
I guess I also feel like the way that they're ending this completely invalidates what initially in the very beginning started as a really quality storyline of what domestic abuse could look like. And like the careful, subtle ways that they played it out where you were like, oh, I like JT. No, I don't like JT. Ooh, JT's getting kind of mean. And
then it's a slow progression.
Yeah. Like to do this completely takes away, you know, I think the experience that they had created, that she went through something really traumatic and they could have really gone deep and sophisticated, but instead they went like kooky Scooby-Doo gang.
Farsi. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. should we?
So let's talk about Lola.
Yeah, Lola and her liver.
Yeah.
another storyline. When we last saw Lola,
he was. Well, go ahead.
No, you tell it. Go ahead.
Well, but she had been attacked by the pool.
Uh-huh.
And Kyle fished her out.
Yep.
And took her to the hospital. They check her out. She's in a coma. And then they find out that she has unrelated liver disease and her liver is failing and she needs a liver transplant.
Yeah.
So really, getting conked on the head
was a blessing in disguise.
Saved her life.
Yeah.
You know, if that hadn't happened, then who knows what would have her liver would have done.
Mm-hmm. I guess. And so it's somewhat tragic, and yet we all know she's going to find a liver.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, there was never any doubt. Although Mariah went on TV and had a tearful plea saying, please get tested. Everybody needs to get tested to save this young chef's life. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That part I thought was a little over the top.
And every single person that we know in Genoa City went and got tested. And nobody's a mm-hmm. match. And it didn't take me very long to put together, like, oh, no, it's going to be Summer. Please don't make it be Summer. Yeah. And
But, no, that was so clear that that's where they were going from the get-go.
Yeah. And so Summer gets tested. And not because she wanted to help, but more because I think she just wanted to show off to Kyle. Like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do it, sure.
Yeah, I can get tested, sure. No problem, because she had
she's 100%
no match. Intention of doing anything past that.
Summer? Oh, wait. Maybe Summer's a bigger piece of human garbage. She's right below Christine.
Yeah.
That's going to be my new, like, best of category. It's like, human garbage.
It was worse than Christine.
Yeah. So Summer is very nervous about being a donor. She hasn't committed, and she and Kyle are having it. It seems weird to me that you would get tested and that you know that somebody's in liver failure and they're like, oh my gosh, you're a match. And then you're like, nah, but I think I'm going to go have champagne breakfast and think about it.
I am a match, but am I?
Yeah. And Kyle is trying to convince her that she, you know, he'll do whatever it takes for her to just go through and save Lola's life. And
for her to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he says, I'll even marry you. And she...
Which she pounces on.
Yeah, she takes him up on it. And...
and he's too much of a wimp to say, no, really, come on, that's...
Well,
ridiculous.
I think that he feels like if he doesn't go through with it, then she might crap out and not donate. Or she might waffle too much and it'll take too much time. I don't know. So they kind of
make some agreements. Yeah, I mean, clearly it was an act of desperation.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But also, a weird thing to propose. Like, you might first say, like, I'll buy you a car, or I'll be your best friend, or...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's so
hey,
many...
don't you need a new pony?
Or just like, hey, let's just go have sex real quick, or, you know, like, but like, marriage.
Yeah, right.
Marriage? Wow, okay.
Yeah, that seemed extreme.
So I kind of wonder, well, why did he say it? Maybe he had other motives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and are we supposed to forget the fact that Summer has health issues and has her whole life and is allergic to everything in the world?
No, because I think she kind of used that as a victimized mentality where she was like, oh, I don't know, hospitals make me scared, you know, because I spent so much of my life here, you know, with my peanut allergy.
Mm-hmm.
And then was like, oh, I just really need you to be there. I need you to be there by my side all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I
feel like she did address it, but more in this poor me way where she didn't really super specify it was more just like, I need you there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and he's willing to do it to save Lola.
Yeah. They make agreements, which are, it will be 100% anonymous. She doesn't want anyone to know that she's the liver donor and that they're getting married, because people will put two and two together. And so nobody in theory is supposed to know, but the two of them, and I guess Nate, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also,
last time I counted, there's like 8 people who now know.
Yeah. Well, that was the original agreement.
Yeah, so much for that.
Because Kyle ended up spilling it to Mariah, who naturally told Tessa, and then
mm-hmm.
I think Abby put it together. She put, you know, she figured it out, mm-hmm. which then meant Arturo yeah. kind of knew. I don't know that they know officially, but like
Abby's, yeah, I think they just have unspoken suspicions.
Yeah, and well, yeah. But the other agreement they had was that there would be no sex, only partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lasted 32 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
So then the next day, you know, Summer is running around and she's like talking about the caterer and we've got to get married right away, like today. And
mm-hmm.
so she's basically making Kyle, you know, like kiss her in public and tell everyone how much he loves her. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're planning this wedding and inviting people to come see. And
the train wreck.
Oh, it's really sad, because she could have a lot of people and she could have even had Kyle in the past. And I suppose that is exactly what they want you to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after all this, you know, Kyle, I understand that in theory, Kyle is doing this selfless act, but he's mm-hmm. not really. I don't
know. He's really not. No, he's not. It's not as if he's purely selfless. He's getting a pretty good deal out of it. You know, Summer's okay.
She's a piece of human garbage.
They have known each other forever, yeah. and they are well suited to each other.
Yes,
and
true.
They used to go out, so, you know, how bad could it be? I can imagine a lot worse fake partners to have.
True.
So, you know.
Well,
but yeah, she's the worst.
So they get married.
And I did like her dress. I will say that.
Too.
Her dress was fabulous.
They both looked good.
It fit. It looked good. It was appropriate. You know, yeah, really liked it.
And then she's booked a room at the athletic club. And he's like, well, okay. And meanwhile, then they flash back to Lola, who's, like, sickly in her hospital bed going, where's Kyle? And, like, looking
yeah.
at the phone. And so that room in the athletic club, of course, you know, it has rose petals. And it's, you know, it's the bridal suite.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have sex. It's like it, mm-hmm. he doesn't even
and
really.
And it didn't take. He didn't fight it all that much.
No.
It was just kind of like, no, I can't do this. Oh, well, I guess I better. Boing.
Yeah.
And that was that.
He was like, oh, boobs. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, right.
I
know how to play this game.
Because it's one thing if, you know, he really, I don't know, it crossed my mind. If one possible way they're trying to play it is that he's going to go all the way to ensure that Lola gets that liver, and he's not going to waver
mm-hmm.
a single bit to make sure, like, that's truly how selfless he is he's going to have hot sex.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels so wrong, and to me now he doesn't deserve Lola.
Right, yeah. No, I think that was an act of betrayal,
yeah.
and he should have stood his ground and said, no, this wasn't the deal. You know, you are going to do the liver transplant, and we are not going to do sex, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You know, go eat a pint of ice cream, Summer.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Then the next morning, though, Summer wakes up and he's trying to sneak out. And she says, "Where are you going?" You know, and he was like, "Oh, I just wanted to get to the hospital early and make sure they had your pillow fluffed." And she says, "But, you know, we're supposed to hit it again. It's our first day married." And
we're married now.
Yeah. And I thought, if you're really going to be donating your liver, do you sleep in and have a hangover and, you know, like.
Right. Where was your fat?
To me, I want somebody's clean liver. That's
a really good point. Oh my God, I hadn't thought about that.
There were so many things wrong with all of it.
Lola's going to wake up drunk from the surgery.
Just one too many apple teenies.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't handle it. I don't know. It just bugged me. But Summer bugs me, so maybe that it's my own problem.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately my mind went to, who can Lola hook up with when she's back on the up and up? Because right. I don't want it to be.
Yeah, tired. Once she wakes up.
Yeah. And Abby, you know, confronted Kyle a couple of times. And even I think Kyle was in the hospital when Lola was about to get her transplant, and Abby saw him and she's like, "What are you doing here? Like, you're supposed to be on your honeymoon." And he went, "Oh, I just wanted to make sure she's okay." And Abby's like, "Nuh-uh. You know, you're here because we know who the donor is. And also, you know, you said you love Lola." Like, the whole thing reeks.
Mm-hmm. And he just stands there.
Yeah. And did we talk about last time how, oh, I don't think we did, how Ray put it together that it was Mia that pushed her?
No, we didn't talk about that.
That was some
please do so.
Stellar police work. I don't know. She lost an earring that, you know, I guess when she was pushing Lola, an earring flung out into the snow.
And, right.
You know, in those stiletto prints in the snow. So Ray put
stiletto
it together.
Hunter boots.
Yeah, remember when Sharon was out in the cornfield with her stiletto boots?
I do.
They have sporty stilettos in Genoa City. So Ray, you know, kind of puts it together. Mia does admit it, and they have a really intense moment where she's like, "I'm so sorry, and I was wrong, and I'm a terrible person." And he's like, "Well, I'm going to have to arrest you." And then she's like, "But wait, I'm pregnant."
Mm-hmm. And, no, she's not.
Yeah. And so he actually says, "I don't believe you," and takes her to the hospital to basically do a pregnancy test. And she somehow steals another pregnant woman's pee or something, or convinces some other woman to pee in her cup, or I don't know what it is. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And so she got a positive pregnancy test despite not being pregnant. And so Ray believed, this is during the trial, you know, that Mia is truly pregnant, all while Ray has to take the stand, you know, for the JT trial and has to admit that on Valentine's Day, he went to Sharon's and professed his love. And that's how he got her confession. So he and Mia are kind of at odds because she doesn't want to go to prison. But on the other hand, you know, he said that he loved somebody else and he doesn't want to be with her.
Right. Yeah. He was real clear about that.
I don't know. You think they're done? I don't think they're done.
I don't think they're done. I think she'll, I hope she finds a way to make it look like she had a miscarriage early.
Oh.
Because this whole faking the pregnancy all the way through.
Oh, see, and I was thinking she might steal a baby.
Or stealing a baby.
I don't know.
So who else?
I got it. I'm just putting it together now.
Okay. I can hear this.
Because, yesterday's episode, the day before, and just this super recently, both she and Arturo are having flashbacks that, one of the nights where Arturo went over there and he was like, "Mia, leave me alone. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And he leaves, but then he comes back and they totally have passionate sex all over the couch. So she might actually end up being pregnant.
Oh, maybe she is
Arturo's
pregnant,
but
not with Ray.
Yeah, but I swear when she was in the waiting room, she was like, asking this woman to do her a favor, like, will you pee in this cup for me? But I think she's going to be pregnant with Arturo's baby, right?
Yeah, but even she doesn't know she's actually pregnant.
Yeah. Totally. And because the timing will be just off. No, I don't think it will be off. It'll be bright. So she'll make it seem like it's Ray's baby.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Arturo will know.
So Ray needs a new liver and then it's not a match.
Yeah. But in the teaser for next week, Arturo tells Abby that he slept with Mia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like it's going to be this till we die secret. It's going to come out.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. No, Abby will make sure of that. I hate it that Abby's so competent.
I know.
Freaking me out. Where's the naked heiress?
I know. What about Mia? Do you like Mia? Do you dislike Mia?
I'm not a big fan. I think she's got somewhere to go. You know, her character is just kind of so unformed at this point.
Okay.
Like,
she does just kind of hang out in the apartment all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, in the beginning, they at least had her hustling a little bit in the business arena, trying to do makeup and hair and fashion.
Yeah.
And now she just paces back and forth in the apartment. It's almost like she's locked in there.
Mm-hmm. And that's boring.
It is so boring. You're right. I like her, though. It's like I love to hate her in a way. But I think she does a good job of... like, one moment you're really annoyed with her, and the next moment you feel sorry for her, and so you're just not sure how you're supposed to feel.
Which way to go.
Which, as opposed to Summer, where I feel like she has zero redeeming qualities, or, you know. I mean, I like somebody who's a little bit more complicated, even though I agree that they have not formed her one iota.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, and I like people, you know, I like people who are... a little mischievous, who will do the wrong thing for the right reason.
No, that's just fun.
Yeah. I do not like Mia and Arturo as a couple. I'll say that now.
Yeah, that's a no.
But it seems like that might almost be inevitable.
Yeah, well, it depends on whose baby is it, you know?
I mean, I guess...
But I think that they are going to hook up sooner rather than later.
Yeah. She definitely seems like the kind of person who would steal a baby, though.
Yeah, I can see that. That would be fun. We haven't had a good baby stealing since Faith.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Nikki murdering somebody in the park, it's got to be somebody stealing a baby. It's one or the other. There's really only two storylines.
right.
Speaking of people I hate, like, let's talk about Carrie and Jack for half a second.
Oh, God, do we have to?
Because
I don't
think...
like them as a couple. I don't like them individually.
You know?
I want them...
But...
with anyone else.
There's a lot of mystery, and so I need to know what you think, because something's going to happen. Like, there's a big secret that we just don't know yet. And so Carrie came on the scene as this real high-powered... is she a chemist? I don't even know what she is, to be honest. She's
like
the new
Ashley. I think it is chemist.
Yeah. She replaced Ashley, and she's bringing on all these new... R&D things. And of course they haven't built a new lab for her, which seems kind of ridiculous. Like, the lab is important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And right away she and Jack got really close, like real fast to me, which was already a red flag, because that's what Jack does.
Yeah.
But I knew that, you know, she's like this trope of like somebody who's sliding in real quick because they're going to play it against him.
So yeah, it's a long con.
All they do is make out. And I'm not going to lie, I was even going to cue up a sound clip of them making out for you, and then I forgot, because it's so loud and so sloppy.
Yeah, thank you for not. I appreciate that you forgot to do that.
I wanted your reaction.
the two actors just don't have any chemistry.
Yeah, it feels really
phony. And so it just falls flat.
Yeah, but also she lays it on so thick, you know, mm-hmm. And there was a point a few weeks ago where, he found a syringe and mm-hmm. then she admitted she was trying to do IVF and she wants to be a mom, but I don't know. It was too much. And then they have her.
She should adopt me as baby.
Yeah, there you go. But, I don't think that's what it is because because then they had a text. She sent somebody a text that said, like, I got Jack in and I got Phyllis in, basically against each other, right? Like, they're pitting. She's pitting.
One against the other.
Yeah. And so I wondered if she's in for Victor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's the only thing I could come up with, unless you got a better idea.
No, that's the most logical.
Maybe Ashley. Maybe, I mean, who are sort of Jack's foils right now?
Himself, always. Maybe Billy. I mean, Billy's always got resentment towards Jack.
I don't think it is Billy.
The one stupid thing or another.
I think Billy's been too preoccupied with Victoria and the trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he would. I think with all the stuff that happened with Ashley last year, I don't think that he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, maybe Tracy is finally going to come in and say, hey, Jack, you're out. Company. I'm in.
Yeah.
Right. My turn to ruin this company.
I mean, I'm not giving up on, I think they're going to bring Adam back. I have a feeling that it's been enough time and they're going to bring him back somehow. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's down 9 years from now. Maybe we'll be on our 200th episode, but I'm telling you, Adam's coming back. It's not that I'm supporting this idea. I'm just saying that's where things are going.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think you're right, though. I think that they're kind of testing the waters to say, is everybody ready? Are you ready to have Jack come back? Or not Jack, but Adam? Nope, you're not? Okay, great. We'll put it off a little bit more.
Adam is complicated when it comes to Jack because on one hand, he kind of saw him as a father figure. And on the other hand, Jack, remember how he, like, I don't know if he framed him or he gave him up and then Adam was in prison and then somebody was poking him in the eye with needles.
Right. Back when he was blind.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can I tell you, speaking of Adam being blind, this is so random, but somebody that I know on Facebook had put up a GoFundMe because her husband, who was like probably in his 20s or 30s, had mm-hmm. that same degenerative eye disease that Adam had. That is the only reason I knew what it was, and it's real. Yes.
I went, what do you know?
Like, yeah, I went, oh my gosh,
well,
that's
I
a real thing.
Well, I hope you gave some funds then.
Yeah. So, and it was basically a GoFundMe for the surgery, the same thing that Adam mm-hmm. had. I went,
Whoa.
I know a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right, because I watch TV.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about Carrie and Jack, but I just wondered if you had any.
I don't see it lasting.
Yeah, Jack's going to have his heart broken.
Oh, good. That's always fun.
It's pretty.
I love his downward spiral.
Yeah. Okay, how about Devon and Anna? That
mm-hmm.
I, I don't know if they call it drama.
Devon found out that Anna has been spending huge amounts of money and was desperate to know why. And he's like, are you a gambling addict? Are you a heroin addict? Are you an alcoholic? You know, do you have a room full of shoes? You know, just what is this? And she's just like, I can't tell you. Leave me alone.
But I felt like he had a right to know because he's the one giving her all the money.
Absolutely, he has a right to know. Yeah, she's being a dick.
Okay. I mean, she just made it out like none of your damn business and just trust mm-hmm.
And
me.
How dare you ask me that?
Yeah, and it's not like Devon doesn't have oodles of money to just piss away in every possible way, but I just felt like, he doesn't want to fund her heroin habit if that's what's happening. He'd rather mm-hmm. fund her rehab habit, right?
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
Not that she exhibits any symptoms like that, but...
No, not at all. Yeah. But, you know, given their mother's history and, you know, everything else. But there's also those who say a gift is a gift and she can spend it however she wants.
I suppose, but it kind of seemed like she was weaseling out of stuff.
But still, I think that he has some, I think that she has some responsibility to be upfront about.
I don't know. Especially if they're living
together. Where these sums are going.
Yeah. I don't know. I do feel uncomfortable because I think sometimes they have Devon play the most masculine jerkbag tool. Because mm-hmm. he seems real sensitive and, I'm listening, but then, plays the male card when needed. Mm-hmm. And he does that to many women, and I'm always frustrated by it. And I felt like... So
I'm
in this
always
scenario,
over it.
Yeah, when he's got his sister, who's obviously, a strong, smart female, and she's like, none of your business. And he's like, well, I'm paying for it, so it is my business. Like, I own you, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, I don't know. But on the other hand, I felt like, well, maybe just tell him.
Yeah, which she eventually did.
Yeah.
So, but only because he stalked her.
Yeah, so he follows her to this seedy motel. Well, I don't know. Was it seedy or was it just a two-star?
It was semi-seedy.
Yeah.
I stayed in worse.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It wasn't a human trafficking hotel. It was just, it was like a motel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he sees her go into this door and then immediately right behind her, he goes and knocks and another woman answers and he kind of forces his way in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in there with this other woman and an older man. Who was the man?
In real life, the actor? Or?
Yeah, I mean, is he famous? He looked famous.
I don't know. I got that feeling.
I should have done
that
my homework.
That he is someone that we were supposed to recognize.
This
but
is a free podcast,
I
people.
Did
I didn't do my homework.
Yeah, right? Spring break!
He just looked... He looked, I felt like he looked so familiar, and I went, oh, this, to instantly, I don't know, maybe this is just that guy's look. I just felt mm-hmm. He must be a TV heavy hitter. I should have known who he was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he carried himself like someone who knew he was going to be recognized.
Yeah.
Not for this part, but for a part.
You may know me from my many roles in da-da-da-da-da.
Right. Yeah.
Well, either way, he is ill and... coughing and getting medical treatment, and says he's Anna's father. She says he's her biological father. So that is not mm-hmm. Devon's father, right? Because they only share mother.
The mother, okay. Right.
And the guy plays it kind of humble. Oh, I asked her not to pay for it, or I don't really want your mm-hmm. help, or I didn't want you to know because then you'd try to step in and help. And Devon looks highly skeptical.
Yeah.
And they kind of get into it, and then the nurse kicks Anna and Devon out.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think this is going?
Yeah. I think it's a scam. I think that the dad is not really sick.
Really?
Yeah, I think that they found out that the circumstances of Anna's childhood and that oh, you're that Devon Hamilton sister. He's got $1 billion. Let's go get $1 billion from him.
So you're thinking
for this new revolutionary treatment. She's just a innocent bystander catalyst.
Oh, that's sad.
I know, people suck.
Okay. Well, but I think in the show they were because Devon recognized the guy, like the character recognized the character as a famous singer, something like that, which kind of helped establish like where Anna got her pipes. I don't know. So, it wasn't that he was just this nobody. He's like a somewhat established former celebrity, maybe in his sunset years. I don't know. I'm also going to tell you another time Devon was a dick was when Lola is in the hospital, you know, comatose, liver failure. Everybody's looking for a liver. And Abby and Devon sit down to kind of just talk about all the things going on. It might have been like half a business meal. And Devon's like, okay, so who's our new chef? And Abby says,
right, yeah.
Whoa.
That was heartless.
Yeah. She's in the hospital. And he goes, well, even if she gets a liver when she comes back, she's not going to be up to par. And Abby says, we'll make it work. And he's like, nope, you get me 3 new people right now. Like, let's go. Like, picking them from a lineup. Yeah. He does this where they kind of have him fall back into this real hard-ass business, tough decisions.
It's the most important thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like Devon, but he's not my favorite person.
No.
He needs to work on his sensitive side, his empathy.
He does. Yes.
And
his business sense, since the whole business of the restaurant is built around Lola.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. You can't
just go and say, oh, never mind, we're going to keep everything the same except the chef.
Yeah, like the
it doesn't work that way.
The Latin vibe she was gonna bring. I'm sure they're already working on all the fixtures and all the way that it's gonna look, right?
Yeah, because they were supposed to be opening like next week.
So do you?
I mean, they were ready to go.
Do you think the restaurant is even gonna happen?
I hope so, just because I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I know. I want a new set really bad.
Yeah.
I am also hot
and trendy and spicy.
I am so disappointed, speaking of sets, that the women didn't make it to prison. I thought, surely...
I know! That was going to be so great.
Yeah, when they were in the jumpsuits, I thought, sweet. Like, basically, they're going to...
Nikki become queen bitch of the prison. And I could just see her walking along and giving up nods to her crew and... telling the new people, hey, I'm the one to talk to around here if you want cigarettes. I just totally saw her doing that, and now it's all ruined.
I thought that they would get off the bus a little disoriented, and they'd roll back the bars, and then Lily'd be back there all hard with, like, a teardrop tattoo,
Go. Even better.
Couldn't believe. I thought, surely they're going to have 4 women, 4 leading ladies, who are all in prison, and they're going to be crossing zones here, and they've got a prison set.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, I did feel a little bit of relief because then we don't have to see like a bunch of like stereotypical racist like characters in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, I really like was looking forward to
an opportunity has been lost.
Yeah. Bummer.
Well, and it's not like, the other scenario I had in my head is that they would go through the gates and they would clang behind them and they'd all be super sad and scared and, oh my gosh, this is going to be so weird. And then suddenly they run into all of these inmates that they know because all of them have been in prison so many times.
Oh my God.
And it's like, oh, you're back. Oh, hey, how are you? Yes, the knitting circle's on Tuesday and we're still, making cookies on Fridays for the orphans at the children's wing of the hospital or whatever the hell.
They'd be like, don't mess with Nikki because she takes down at least one person a year.
Yeah, right. She's and they're like, oh, you didn't get off this time. Okay. You know, your room is all ready.
And I had good flashback memories for myself. Remember when Sharon was on the run years ago and she was in the farm and she delivered the lamb? And you know, I mean, I kind of felt like, well, that's not
where
Sharon's
I want them
first
to
time.
Run to.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah, because if we get in the set and it's just for the prison break, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a new barn, it's a new abandoned amusement park, you know.
This is why
new waterworks factory that doesn't work anymore.
It wasn't a fully developed finish or storyline end because we've seen so many of these other sort of shocking moments where, like, you think it's over and it's not over, you know, and they make it
and then it drags.
Yeah, and in this case, I mean, I guess I'm glad that I guess we'll have it all tied up and we can just move on and forget about it. But it's definitely not like a fun, memorable storyline like some of the other things we've had.
What could be fun is if they find an old-timey circus and they run away and join the circus.
An amusement park.
You know, something.
Nothing good
out of
ever
the norm.
Happens in the old amusement park.
No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like a new set is around the corner. I don't know, maybe the budget's tight. I don't know what it is, but they haven't even done any. You remember they had some of the outdoor scenes? They used to like be jogging outside the coffee shop or Chancellor Park. And it's just all really been centrally located within like three or four. I mean, I guess they had the courtroom a lot, but it's been lame and I need them to expand the world a little bit.
Yeah. They need to branch out to something.
So,
at this point, I don't care much what it is.
Yeah. Just give us another damn restaurant. That's all anybody goes to. Christ.
That's right.
I think that kind of covers it, unless you can...
I think that covers it,
...give anything else exciting that happened.
Yeah, I think we're good at the moment.
I think when Lola finds out that it was Summer's liver, her body will reject it, and she'll need a new one.
You don't think she's just going to remove it herself?
like an absolute... She's just horrified, like, cuts it out herself. Like, I can't have this liver.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. That'd be great. I'd love it. I was going to make us an Instagram page, and then I forgot. I spend so much time screwing around on the internet. You think that I would have done it by now. Anyway, so look forward to that soon. I'm going to admit, because
yay.
I personally, when I listen to podcasts, I'm not a Facebook group kind of person. I know that there's a group out there for, geez, almost every podcast I listen to, but I just don't, that's not for me as a, but I like a Instagram account. I like it on the gram. So for anyone out there who's listening who might prefer Instagram, I really am going to do that by the next podcast. And then
we'll
I can really just post, you know, with wild abandon, all the outfits I see.
There you go.
It's a whole other level of what my brain is thinking. So,
so it's going to be a scary Instagram. Oh boy.
Yes. I'm just going to Photoshop Young and the Restless characters' faces onto Game of Thrones bodies. That's all it's going to be. The whole account. I think I might have just come up with
the Game of
account.
Young and the Restless.
Yes,
I like that.
Right. Sold. In the meantime, find us on Facebook, The Young and the Restless Recap, and I think that's it.
Yeah, we'll see you after basketball. Go teams.